James from the Controllerism Podcast, brought to you by Octopart. I'm here with my co-host, Joseph, today. Today we have two guests from the same company. They are Cofactor. You may have heard of them. They are an integrated data procurement management for electronic supply chain company. They've been a few different things over the years, but they're absolutely nailing the space right now. Really happy to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Pleasure to be here.
Do you want to just tell people a little bit about what the company is and what it does? It's a lot going on there. Fantastic.
What are some of the biggest challenges facing procurement specialists today?
Yeah, and I would add on to that that there's also just the time horizon of this, and the reality is that demand can increase on your product. And how do you quickly and succinctly understand, is the design that we have today, the bill of materials, is it able to scale? Do the unit economics still work? Are we going to come into unexpected supply chain pinches if we do move from 2,500 to 10,000 units annually? And certainly all of those sort of problems, both on the what's the here and the now of the supply? What should I be thinking about? How should I be conserving capital? And what does this mean a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road? These are all sort of this complicated problem space where historically the data has been really decentralized.
Fascinating. So how does AI analyze BOMs to identify potential bottlenecks or inefficiencies in the supply chain?
And beyond that, there's a practical effect sort of to the customer, which is you'll have a whole body of users of this data ultimately from the engineer onward. And it goes down not only to sort of complex, what is the market, but really simple information like, what is a description of this part? What type of thing am I supposed to be looking at? What is this thing? What is this object? And even those data points can often be, right.
Do you think it's going to get to a point where it's going to be impossible to actually compete in the space without using advanced AI?
Yeah, it enables a lot of opportunity to do the intelligent labor when the intelligent labor is needed, right? Joseph, you brought up sort of the question earlier, what does it mean for procurement teams specifically? And when we think about ongoing production of a product and you're thinking about hundreds or thousands of components over multiple releases, over multiple months or years, to get the best scenario, to get the best financial outcomes for your organization, to know when you should maybe move between distributors or move between manufacturers because there's opportunities on the market that can lower your unit economics and then pass that value onto your customers. That type of really diverse data, right? Like there's automation that can just sort of give you that opportunity and present it to you in a very proactive way, so that you can go after, as a leader in the procurement space, a much more strategic opportunity and really like dig deep into the stuff that does need that sort of human touch. And I think that's the outcome, is that, yeah, you could probably still, you know, build a circuit board without a bunch of AI and automation, but are you going to have the best manufacturing, the best financial outcomes on that circuit board without them? Certainly not.
Do you think this is the end of the data entry specialist?
So before the podcast, we were actually chatting about the history of the company, and you were mentioning that you have had quite an evolutionary journey over the years, changing functions. Do you want to tell us a little bit about where you started and how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, it gave us a lot of guidance in what we should focus on as a company. Like just having the hands-on experience of having designed and then built circuit boards, like what we should maintain, what we should maintain ownership of as an organization, what we should continue to do. We never had this sort of pivot to just a pure SaaS data model. It's hugely important to what we do. It is the underpinning sort of fabric that everything is built upon. But we have a physical warehouse. We are buying parts. We are receiving those parts. We are counting those parts because we know that there's no amount of data that can clean up the sort of reality of dealing with physical materials. And ultimately, that's such a burden for an OEM or a CM doing quick turn work or sort of numerous other customer profiles that we could potentially interact with. And I think that it's all that sort of like messy, weird stuff that turned into more organized, standardized, but you know, ultimately sort of manufacturing processes has left us with a business model that's pretty unique in where I think our hands still, the perception is like we are willing to get our hands a lot dirtier than I think a lot of other organizations sort of in the similar space.
So which pain points is Cofactor, pain points is Cofactor particularly well placed to help clients deal with?
And maybe I'll keep harping on the physical stuff here. There's also just it's a pain to manage these materials for CMs, for EMS providers. You might have a great relationship with a handful of distributors that are sending you materials exactly as you need them. But cofactor can work as really a aggregator of diverse materials, standardizing those materials and the actual process that leads to them arriving at a manufacturing line ready to go. And that's everything from, are they being reeled to the specification of the actual PCBA, right? Like, are they labeled correctly? Do they have the right barcode so that I can receive those easily? I mean, all these things seem like they might not, right? There's just a bunch of stuff that you sort of say, well, how do you successfully receive a material and then get it to the line without it going through a couple of departments? And that's the kind of stuff where you look at cofactor and you go, oh, it's all just one thing, and it all just kind of makes sense now. And so there's the OEM pain points, but CMs is a totally different animal.
Altium 365 lets you hold the fastest design reviews ever. Share your designs from anywhere and with anyone with a single click. It's easy. Leave a comment tagging your teammate and they'll instantly receive an email with a link to the design. Anyone you invite can open the design using a web browser. Using the browser interface, you're able to comment, mark up, cross-probe, inspect, and more. Comments are attached directly to the project, making them viewable within Altium Designer, as well as through the browser interface. Give it a try and get started with Altium 365 today.
Being spread across so many trends, being so aware of everything that's happening in the space, what do you sort of see happening in the area of reshoring and nearshoring? Is it as extensive as people are saying it is, or is it sort of a little more toned down and being hyped up? I've seen some trends in a lot of factories opening in Vietnam, Indonesia, and Malaysia as well.
Yeah, the opportunity there seems mind-blowing right now. Like there's definitely a number of industries that have already sort of seen the, you know, blank blank for this part of the world already happen, and the interest that we see specifically from India is massive on supply chain tools and procurement automation. It seems like it's a real moment of opportunity in that market, and it's fascinating to sort of be sitting So front and center for what is like a giant global shift in the way that we're thinking about traceability and reliability and just caring so deeply about where your stuff gets made. It's going to be quite a decade.
I think part of that, go ahead. What do you sort of see the role of these new legislations about traceability and supply chain coming into play? What role are they going to play in this shift as well? Because I imagine that it's going to be a lot easier for some of these companies to shift to these areas where it's easy to justify that they're above board, especially with European regulations and what they're putting in place with supply chains. Right.
Plastic bags with part numbers written on them in pen in the world. And I have a feeling that like we're definitely doing as much as we can to turn that into a beautiful printed label with some traceability and a COO. But I think that there's probably over the next few years, you're going to see so much automation, so much software, so much traceability that just like really make sure that that audit trail is auditable and trailable. It's fascinating, especially in contexts where a manufacturer might handle the NPI process, but then it moves into scaled production. And at scaled production, you might have full traceability on your components, but you know, a few of those components from the NPI process, if they bleed into the production environment, you might all of a sudden sort of have questionable materials landing on boards that have sort of universal traceability. Generally speaking, it's a really fascinating world to sort of stumble into over the last few years and try to, you know, make a positive impact in.
Do you have any insights you could share about adapting to world events that disrupt the supply chain?
And this is a really practical sort of simple one, but a really healthy parts library, I think, is key to this. We've definitely heard examples where you've got a parts library, you've got 10 alts, you feel good, that feels very sourceable, but that the procurement process is often by the first one's no good, by the second one. Now, is the health of the third through the 10th alt on that in that library under that internal part number, are those in good condition? Are you actually in a defensible position if you lose a couple of those alts or that primary part? And that's kind of what we're, you know, really practically helping with some of our customers is just, what's the actual health of your library, right? Like, are you in a situation where if something falls short, you have plenty of backup and you know that you're going to still be able to manufacture and move forward? So that's one that it's really simple, but, you know, it's really easy to forget about the last two thirds of alts in an internal part number and just sort of shrug it off. And God forbid, you know, they fall before the first ones do. So it's a, you know, tip.
Last question here from us is, do you see any emerging technologies or approaches that are probably going to shape the next generation of inventory management practices? Right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been absolutely fascinating. I know I've learned a lot. I'm sure you have too, Joseph. But for anyone who's been listening to this and really been enjoying this topic, please stay tuned because we will be announcing in the near future a special webinar episode featuring Phil and Matthew, where they're going to go more in depth with these topics, discuss how they work with Octopart and Altium, and basically just expand on what we've covered here today. Yep, so Matthew and Phil, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, James and Joseph.